Blog Talk Radio.
Working. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
I'm glad you're able to get it working on your end, Rachel. I apologize. I'm not real up to date on doing this Blog Talk Radio thing here, and I don't know what happened.
Not
there.
At
I thought
all.
You had it all set up. It's a ghost
it
in the
was.
Machine. There's a glitch in there somewhere. Yeah.
It
it's
was
just,
all set
every
up
time...
for the date and time, and everything was correct, so I'm not sure, but here we are.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm glad you have good cell reception out there where you're at camping for the weekend.
Yeah, I actually don't where I was, where we pitched our tents last night, but I found a spot in the shade. Hopefully it can last a bit, so.
Nice.
I'm glad you.
Must have nice weather down there.
It is.
We have
it
some
is
sunshine.
Really nice weather.
That's good.
Sunshine,
we have
yes.
sunshine
and
here. We have a milky sky,
and a,
but it's
a
only
really
like 50
nice
degrees
here. So
very good.
It was such. I had the best night, Aaron, last night that I have ever had camping, and this girl has camped somewhere around 40 to 50 nights with my daughter. So that's saying a lot. But it was perfect weather. It was. There was no rain. It wasn't freezing cold. You know, normally even when it's a beautiful day, the temperature drops down at night so cold that it's miserable. There was a really good cool breeze. And we slept in one of those little one-person tents that you tie between two trees, a backpacking tent that's small enough that you can take with you that has no poles, like the roughing it type tent. And so it has this, it's a teepee sort of, not a teepee, it's like a V style, like an A-frame style, but very small. And so you can flip up one whole side of it, and that whole area is screened mesh if you want to. So I just had it flipped over last night, and man, the stars were just so beautiful. So
awesome. And no mosquitoes.
It's a clear night and perfect breeze and slept well. So score.
Yeah.
Score.
And no mosquitoes?
Absolutely no bugs bothered us at all.
Nice.
The flies are bothering me right now because I think I'm close to a trash can or something. But anyway.
We've had pretty bad bugs this year, this summer anyway, especially the stink bugs. They came out of the woods with all the fires around us, the smoke and the fires that just drove them out of the woods and right into the rural areas. And they're bad. They can get in any place. I don't even know how to get into the house, you know, sometimes. I think they're right in on our fur, on our clothing and on the animals' fur.
I'm going to leave you for 1 second, see who this is that wants to ask a question. You can continue to chat to the audience, okay?
Okay. I actually did have something for the show starting out today, something that wanted to cover. Didn't really get a chance to cover it thoroughly or as thoroughly a couple of shows ago, and that was Paul's supposed conversion story that happened to him in the desert on the way to Damascus. Did Messiah come back to confront and ordain Paul? The answer is no, actually. When you hear everything that Messiah said and gave his warnings, the warnings and to his disciples and apostles,
I put you on air, and I couldn't get myself back on air. And I see Christy, too. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Hi, Debbie.
Christy.
Hi.
Hi,
everybody. Was Alice ever able to get on?
I haven't seen an Alice.
No, Alex.
Alex.
Oh, Alex. I'm away today. I don't know if anyone can put him on via Messenger. I cannot. I'm not in front of a computer where I can join him in through Messenger. So if anybody has access,
I am not either.
If anybody has access to both a telephone and a computer, you can call him on Messenger and put your phone up, and you can hear him pretty good, but I cannot do that this weekend or next.
Yeah, I won't be able to either. I don't have a hard line connection to my computer. I have to use my phone as a hotspot and then it's in my computer.
And I shall go ahead.
And it's www.freedomizerradio.com?
As far as what? Listening via the computer?
Yeah, online.
Yes.
It is .com? I'm sure.
Sometimes it can be a little glitchy, too. But it's easiest if you call in, 319-527-6208. That's 527-6208. And then if you would like to speak, just go ahead and press 1. We look forward to fellowshipping with you. This is our Shabbat Shalom Sabbath fellowship time together, and we welcome you if you want to hop on or if you just want to listen. Either way, it's wonderful. Debbie,
hey,
we haven't seen you on here in a long time, so welcome. I'm glad you're on today.
Marty just sent me a text here, a messenger. He said he's area code 402. He just called in. He says he can hear us talking.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring him on if he wants to. Hi, Marty. Shabbat shalom.
Hey, Shabbat shalom. How are you doing? I got to turn
Hi,
this down so I can I'm sorry. It's been so long. It took me a long time to figure out how to get on, and I realized that it wasn't working at first. So.
Yeah, that is what happened.
Yes, and so.
And I don't
so
know
how have
lot,
all you been doing?
Being patient.
Yeah.
Doing pretty well.
Good. Doing so you're out
cool.
on a scouting trip with your son?
With my daughter.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Okay,
cool.
Yeah, the 13-year-old.
No,
she loves scouts. She loves adventure.
Awesome. Okay, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, they grow up really fast, and pretty soon like mine, we got the four boys, and we hardly ever see them unless they need something. And so.
I hear ya.
But, yeah. And now the grandkids are up there, and so. But, so what's the topic for today, or have you started anything yet, Aaron?
Oh, well, I was kind of bringing up the topic that we were a couple of Sabbaths ago. We didn't really get to cover in too much depth, but we were talking about the requirements that Messiah gave for one to be considered apostle, to be one of his 12 apostles.
Oh, right.
And,
yes.
Yeah, and then after understanding what the requirements were, then I went into was Paul's supposed confrontation and ordination in the desert on his way to Damascus. Was it really true? Could it have really happened after, not just Messiah given the requirements of who could be an apostle, but also after Messiah, when he said, when he's lifted up in a cloud, Acts 1, chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, and it's also stated in Luke 24, 51, what had happened there, the people there, the disciples and apostles that saw him lifted up into the cloud, and the angel says to him, the same Yahusha, Messiah, that
right.
you see will return in like manner. And Messiah
right.
himself, said that when he returns, all eyes will see him. And the question
right.
was, is Paul's story, his conversion that he claims happened to him in the desert, was it truly the Messiah, or was it a lie or a demonic entity?
Right.
Yeah, proposing as a Messiah.
Right, exactly. So,
yeah.
Okay, see, some of those topics I've covered, I sent you some on the email thing, not that I'm trying to act like I know it all or whatever, but it's like I have to deal with this in my own hometown, and I have one here, I was looking it mm-hmm. up here. Where Paul, the voice claiming to be Jesus, and
mm-hmm.
There's like two pages of verses where Jesus is exactly what you're saying. He qualifies himself of where he's doing, and even went before the stoning of Stephen. Stephen said he looked up and he was a witness that he is sitting now
yeah.
on his throne at the right hand of the Father. And the key verse that I use all the time is Matthew 24 through 26, where he says, for the false Christ and false prophets will arise performing great signs and wonders as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. I have told you before, if they say to look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he's in the inner room, do not believe it. And so to me, his own words, he's warning his disciples that if you see me or somebody tells you I'm out in the wilderness, don't believe them. And that's the key verse that I share a lot of times with people. So,
absolutely. Yeah,
and,
excellent verse. Wilderness and desert, synonymous,
right.
same thing. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And also, there's one I sent you there on where Paul is questioned. I'm real slow at this computer stuff, sorry, here. Oh, Paul's
okay.
apostleship is questioned, because even Paul himself says, some would say that I'm not an apostle. Some say I have not seen the Lord. Well, his own testimony verifies he has not seen the Lord. He said, I just heard a voice and a bright light, and it blinded me.
Yeah.
So, to me, right there, he write out lies. And then,
exactly.
Yeah, and
isn't
then he says,
amazing?
Oh,
we
and
talked
that
about that last week.
How come
right.
it only blinded him and not everybody else?
Well, that's a good point. Oh, I never thought of that one. That's good. Because 1 Corinthians 9:2, he says, if the others, I am not an apostle, but at least I am to you. You are my seal of my apostleship. It's like, no place in the Bible says that people decide who's an apostle and who's not.
Right.
So,
Aaron, what did you say that was a good one?
Oh,
what's that?
I was just, in one of his accounts, he says that not just him, but the guys that were traveling along the road there at the same time also saw the bright light. And I was wondering, well, how come it didn't blind them as well and just, chose Paul to blind?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Even his being blind is removed from one of his accounts. It's completely omitted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. Because one of them talks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One of them talks about where he says he heard in a Hebrew language. I mean, every one of them, each one of his conversion statements is conformed or modified to who he's telling it to. Because he's all things to all men. He wants to be accepted by everybody and stuff. And so.
Yeah.
But as I've gone through the New Testament, I've gone through. As verses pop up, I add them to different subjects or themes, and that's helped me to. I've had two pastors accuse me of stacking verses, and I said, well, show me how I'm stacking verses, and they've never. I said, I'm using Paul's own word to you, And so he convicts himself.
Yeah, so, you're stacking things on a certain subject. You're sticking to the subject. Throughout his letters and showing, look, this is talking about the same subject here. We're still on the same page, guys.
Exactly, yes. And so that's the Paul thing has really freed me because the Messiah, I feel like I'm no longer debating the Bible. I'm sticking with what my Messiah said, what Yeshua said. And if anyone contradicts that, then he's the one that's accused. But many times when Paul says watch out for false doctrines, he's talking about false doctrines contrary to his doctrine. And I even looked at a bunch of verses. So he's the problem is getting people to be willing to question the character of the authors. I questioned Jude, I questioned James, I questioned 1 and 2 Peter. I've heard 2 Peter is questionable, but
absolutely.
I personally have to. I want the Lord to test me because the Spirit will lead us into all truth, and it's not always easy.
Marty, you've seen the third to the last verse in 1 Peter. It actually says who the author is and why they attached, Peter to, as the letter itself, 1 Peter, when it should actually say Silas or Salvanius, his long form.
Oh, yes.
Name.
Yes.
So
now
I'll
have to look that up because I know different translations state it. And even Revelation, there's several verses that some of the translators completely altered sentences. Than what I could find in the Greek and stuff. Hey, I got a question for you since I got you on the phone there. When it comes to translations, I have been watching Jewish people teach why the Jews will not accept Christ, okay? And one gentleman seems to make sense to me where he says, you Christians or you followers of Yeshua all talk about 3,500 different copies of the Greek. He says, but how do you know the Greek was correctly translated from the Aramaic? See, I've often wondered, well, maybe my point of reference is off in the first place. I mean, have you thought about that or shed some light to me on that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm still covering that too. Yeah, share your findings with me. And Greek is getting farther and farther away from the original Hebrew language and definitions and the way it was said in the first place. And English is even worse than Greek. I think it's important for us to reverse engineer things all the way back to even the Paleo, for instance.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because there was was it 1870? They found some other scrolls. I'm getting off my subjects now. And, every once in a while, I just wonder, even though we found scrolls, maybe God's revealing stuff to us, but how accurate are they, I guess? But there again, what else, like I told a couple of people, what else do I have to work with? This is what we've got to work with at this moment in time. And so go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think we need to read everything we can get our hands on. Every word that supposedly...
Yes.
what, you know, has been written in, yeah. And we see that there's a lying pen of the scribes involved in just about every text that I have come across. Something has
yes.
been changed and meddled with.
Exactly, yeah. See, I'm still going through all those other books. I bought three copies or three volumes or whatever it is of like Jubilees and Enoch, and so I'm still working on going through all those and doing my underlining and roadmaps and where does this
oh,
come
excellent.
Into and, you know, because I still
yeah.
want to be open to the thing is trying to stay open. And so I found myself getting hard when I have to deal with fresh people who just now figured out that, oh, Paul might not be, you know, they start arguing with you. It's like, oh, here I go again. I got to start all over again with these people. And I find
right.
myself losing patience. And I shouldn't. I should be grateful that they're even questioning it. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Willing to entertain it, you know, entertain the,
yeah.
the thought and be
yeah,
willing to
so.
Sit down and look over the things. Yeah, that's excellent.
Right.
And
then
quite a few of our friends that are waking up to this are experiencing what we have, you know, anger. And I think a lot of the anger
oh,
is
yeah.
misplaced. It's, you're angry at yourself, for one, for being fooled.
Right.
But, and understanding yourself and where the anger comes from and, you know, why you've mistaken this, you know, through your walk
right.
and through your life is, for me, it was churchianity, 100%.
Yeah.
If I hadn't have been
exactly.
listening to a hireling speaking at the pulpit, it didn't matter which Christian religion,
mm-hmm.
you know, claiming
yes.
to be Christian. They all have.
That's it. I had a lady ask me today because I asked her, what church do you go to? So I can find out her history. And she said, well, I'm starting to not go to church as much because I can't find a church that doesn't preach Paul. I said,
oh,
well, welcome
oh.
to our world,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Because you do. You miss
yeah.
the fellowship. You miss,
I heard
you
told her about
know, the,
us.
Did I tell her about you?
Invite her
I actually,
to, yeah, invite her
I,
to this
I
fellowship.
Need to. Okay.
Yeah, this is kind of our
well,
our,
I tell, yeah,
this is
Rachel,
you know,
to be honest,
scattered.
That's hard for me because I miss you guys. I miss out on remembering and see the hard thing. Like I was telling someone else, this is yeah, the Father's Sabbath, and I'm having a hard time because the rest of the world, this is Saturday, and to get
mm-hmm.
we still have family stuff. We still have stuff that interrupts my Sabbath, but yet. I need to be with the family too, and do like this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot all about my granddaughter's volleyball game, you know, and so I was in here studying and reading and searching a topic, and it's like, oh, my wife's sick. She goes, you're not going to go to Bella's a ball game? It's like, oh man, I totally forgot about it, you know, and so
yeah,
it's just,
yeah, you get looking. I so look forward to the Sabbath. I really.
Oh,
do.
I do too. Friday night to me
well.
Is the Sabbath. Yes, but during the day, it's hard because I still have people come by. I still have what their life is or evolved around us, and not everybody has changed. And so I'm still trying to work on the loving part because I – go ahead. What's that?
To interject a thought, and this is just my thought and observation on the anger part when people are introduced with the thought that, wait a minute, before you – run off and attach yourself to Paul's doctrine, did you remember to check him out first? And the anger mm-hmm. that people feel, I feel, is especially the American mindset, the American dream is to acquire things. And it really
right.
appears to me that salvation is something that people feel that they have acquired once they do
right.
the sinner's prayer, the Pauline version of,
right.
First of all, confessing that the Messiah had no power, therefore proving that it isn't the true Messiah that walked that people are talking
right.
about anyway. I'm going to roll up my windows because
yeah.
there's a lot of traffic here right now. But so I think this is just my observation and opinion for whatever it's worth. I think a lot of that anger and resistance to investigating it is that people feel like they've checked off that box. I'm saved,
yes.
you know, and
yes.
I've even heard some people in my family say a particular family member that's 90-something years old that was the daughter of a Methodist minister, making me the great-granddaughter of a Methodist minister, she's
right.
got a direct line to God. And people think this about Pauline Christians that walk
right.
the walk, you know, and are the quote-unquote
right.
good person. And it's just, yeah. It shakes their whole world. And where did you come from to come and tell me that, you know, the salvation that's been presented to me through the Christian church is wrong?
Right.
And so they feel like you're trying to take away something from them that belongs to them, that is the most incredible and important asset that they've ever acquired. And they treat it as such, something they've acquired. You're trying to rob them of their free grace. And it's upsetting.
I've found that I always like to try to figure out a phrase. Their security is in what they believe and not in who they believe in. And to me, that's where my transfer was. That during my COVID back in January when I was sick, where it's like I felt like the Holy Spirit said, Marty, Paul stole salvation away from Jesus and made salvation an item and not a relationship, an ongoing with him. So,
yeah.
And so that to me has been, you're right.
You just described the switcheroo. You're
exactly
right. He stole the truth. And so when we try to show people the truth, they think you're trying to rob them, because that was his, you know, his modus operandi, to switch everything inside out. And so then when he is saying, when he talks about the false teachers and the, you know, Titus chapter 1, he nails the law keepers as though they're the heathens. And he does that in Galatians, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So,
Galatians
is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, and several people asked me, well, was Paul just deceived? Or I personally think his pride, Satan appealed to his pride. He said, I'm going to give you something special. I'm going to make you, you know, because I've got two or three pages of just his boasting statement that, you know. And then the thing that recently I posted something on you know, follow me as I follow Christ. I have the verse upstairs, but there's a verse that talks about, he says, because you guys, talking to the Galatians, you did as I do. Your life is like mine. Everything was my. And my dad taught me, if you say me, my, or I too many times, then you're really totally selfish, you know. He always
kind of like
good
Isaiah.
Attacking. Yeah, he attacks the word Christ at the, he always puts Jesus' name somewhere in his statements to authenticate it. And it's once you catch that stuff, I can't even go back to the church I was working at in the prison stuff, because the pastor just, I mean, I think he reads my Facebook and every once in a while I'll read his, and it's like, he is just stabbing, and it's a personal assault. It's not, he doesn't say, oh, this person uses verses incorrectly. He says, this person here believes this, and that's because they're prideful and arrogant and they don't care and love of other people. See, so if they can't defend the verse, they have to attack our character. And so, especially since I was there for three or 4 years helping. Go ahead.
Marty, that verse that you just quoted, follow me as I follow Christ, was the most freeing verse for me, because I did not see Paul as one that followed Christ when he changed his every word practically. So when I read that, I was like, I still remember, and this was before my eyes were truly open.
Mm-hmm.
To Paul, strangely enough, because it's as though my eyes were open, but they weren't willing to step out and proclaim it yet, because it hadn't been officiated as an epiphany for me. But I remember when I read that, and I said to him, deal, you have a deal, because I don't feel you follow Christ. You have just set me free from worrying about any of this nonsense you've been trying to, you
Wonderful.
Know.
Yes, super.
It was really, you know,
Yeah. What some of the counsel that I have with some of the new people that seem open is, I'm saying, okay, don't run out and tell everybody about this yet. Wait until you, because that was my mistake. I got online, I've made videos, and man, I got to warn everybody. It's a crisis, you know. But I've been finding books hundreds of years old that other people were warning people too. But I tell people, try to get this all straightened out in your head. Figure it out. And figure out where the root of it, where it started, how it started, and stuff. And I shared, I don't know if I sent it to Aaron. Of course, he's been in jail for a while. But anyway, I did a thing on Satan. Okay, if I was Satan, and I wanted glorified, God kicked me out of heaven. Okay, well, then I'm going to go ahead and mess up his people, Adam and Eve. and try to get into their heads and stuff. And that, and I think back at Judas, I believe that Satan wanted to be, this is my own opinion, wanted to be in, if he could infiltrate the core group, and Judas appears to the others as being one of the best, and because they didn't even believe it when Jesus said, here, the guy who dips with me will betray me. But then I think Judas's heart was so affected by the Lord that he went out and committed suicide. So it's like Paul goes, okay, that backfired. Now I got to find somebody who has a heart against the Jesus, but also someone who's very smart and witty and who has, I can use, and I won't have to worry about him going and committing suicide. And so in my opinion, he latched on to Paul because Paul knew the power of the pen. So if I could get Paul to write these letters, and then in 334 AD, I can get the Roman Catholic Church to put it into text and call it the Word of God, I've got an inside person right there that everybody will believe. See? And so to me, he was incredibly smart in choosing Paul because Paul was trained and educated and knew how to be a Pharisee and knew how to twist things. He didn't have to start from scratch.
He was very educated in Greek philosophy, as we're finding that most of his quotes
are
from Greek philosophy.
Right. And so now all these years of Satan laughing his head off because the simple word of God, that phrase, has blinded people, and because it's, you know, and so it's scary, I guess. I just, the praying and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
See, I hurt and bleed, but I don't know how to convey information properly, you know, because people say, oh, you're angry and mean, but yet people who know me at front, they know I'll cry at a heartbeat over stuff, you know. And so I don't know how to convey information and share stuff with people, you know. So that's it.
Well, it is just from, you know, hearing Messiah's words over and over again, you know. And it's not our job to rightly divide the word, as Paul says. That's not correct. It's the Father's set apart spirit that is going to rightly divide the truth for us. Yeah, so we need to get our hands on everything, you know, like Second Baruch, Fourth Ezra, the Jubilees, Book of Adam and Eve, a lot of these things that you're reading, Enoch as well, you know, and Messiah. Yeah. And once you read the Book of Enoch, me personally, I was like, what the heck are these people telling me out here in church land, not to read Enoch, you know, it's corrupt or it's whatever, but you start to realize everything's kind of had, you know, scribal errors and intentional injections put in by scribes as well. But once you read the Enoch, it's like Messiah quoted Enoch over 30 times. He quoted it more than Deuteronomy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think you're the one that shared that with me one time, and I started looking those up. Yeah. See, amazing with our computers and word searches. Word searches are just so incredible of what we can discover, you know, and stuff. And so I like the Torah.
Yeah.
Not that I'm trying to jump subjects, but I'm still trying to learn the Torah. And I joined a couple of Torah groups, and I ended up getting – it's like I share something, like, in a question form, and I think – and then I get blasted. And I just find – it's like, how are you guys – you guys are not helping me. You're attacking me and not – and sometimes that's what I wonder. It's I know a few people in the Torah that almost I've stopped following them or talking to them because – I can't even say anything without being blasted versus, well, Marty here, why don't you look at this scripture and check this scripture out? You know, does that make sense?
Right.
It seems like, and I don't want to become hard and calloused in my beliefs, I guess.
I
worry
it's a
about that.
Matter of honesty. No, I agree with you. I don't want to be hard and calloused either. I want to search everything out. There's a lot of things in the Hebrew Roots movement or even in Messianic Judaism that are rabbinical traditions. And it's like, they get angry at you when you explain that to them. There's no scripture found in all of the scriptures that I've found that says what you're teaching here. Well, I went to a group, for instance, we went to a gathering up north of here a couple of months ago, and they started out with a prayer, and then, everybody stand up and face east. That's rabbinical traditions. You know, there's... Why are we facing east? You know, somebody asked, why are we standing facing east? Oh, that's the direction of Jerusalem. Show me in Scripture where it says we're supposed to do that. And I turned to the guy and I said, there isn't. There isn't such scripture. This is rabbinical traditions of men right now that they're practicing right here in a gathering. supposedly worshiping,
right.
You know, and they're not.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I went to a, what's the feast, what's the feast that we get in the tents for a week?
Oh, yeah.
I missed
Sukkot.
It here this last. Sukkot. Okay, yeah. See, I'm still learning all that.
Or Tabernacles, you know.
Yeah.
In Septuagint, so, calls it the Feast of Tent Pitching. And,
right. Yeah, Feast of Tent Pitching.
Yeah. But I,
yeah.
Yeah, and I went to, last year, I took a day off and went to, a friend invited me to his up there in, up in Omaha, or north of me, and I went up there and spent time with him and different things. And it's like, I'm a total stranger here, and we're only talking 20-some people in this little tiny group. They all had their tents and stuff. But it's like, I told my friend, I said, I still feel like an outcast even after I left here. And I sat through the service, and I watched and listened to people because I'm trying to learn from them. And I got more disgusted with them the further we went, because it wasn't until the last, oh, you're leaving? Oh, you're new here. Hi, how are you? Oh, yeah, I've only been here for 4 hours, you know. And so, but anyway, it was just a weird experience. I wanted, because I was totally open. I said, man, these are tour people. I want to see and learn what they're doing. And it's like, oh, wow. When I left, I told my friend, I said, I ain't coming back. There's no way.
Right.
And so
right.
I know sinners that are more warmer than these guys were. I guess that's judgmental sounding, isn't it? But
well, no, not exactly. They seem to be more open.
Yeah, and stuff. And so, and my friend still sends me stuff, and he's still trying to teach me. I said, I still need to learn. I'm still learning the feast. And I still, then I get hit by people who say, well, our time and our calendar system is still not correct. I said, man, this is all I have to work with right now. I don't know what it is.
Exactly. You know, one topic is, you know, yeah. One subject at a time, please. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. See, yeah. So that's why I want to get back to the whole thing of loving people. And see, I've been accused because I am against Paul, and I believe the Torah. I've been called legalistic. I'm a heretic, and I'm not loving people. And I've seen where you want me to compromise the Father's standards in order to show love to people. That doesn't seem proper to me, you know. And so I said,
that's okay, Marty. That's okay, Marty. Yeah. You're in the same boat we all are.
Yeah. Because that's the church, the past. What's that?
I said, this is Debbie, just in case.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, you sound a little different than Rachel there, so thank you. But, yeah, see, the last church I was at was a prison ministry, and I was involved in a lot. And as soon as they let me, he's seen the direction I was heading. I know he's not listening to this anyway. But he's seen the direction that I was heading, that the Holy Spirit was showing me. I feel I was just learning about the Torah. I was just learning. I was trying to figure out how to share it with our small church group. And then the pastor said, no. I said, I'm going to start taking over. We're hooking up with this other ministry. And there was a drug rehab place, and I did the remodeling through the building and stuff. And it's like all of a sudden I'm going, the more I wanted to participate with them and be part of it, the more they said, no, you got to trust us. You got to trust us. We do this, and we have more baptisms than any churches in our town. And again, they're all Paul followers and stuff. But,
right. You need to obey those that Yah puts over you. As Paul would say in Romans 13, you need to obey those.
Oh, I was going
to
say, now, wait a second now here. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But they're all following the second. They put the second commandment first. When I said, what does the Holy Spirit, what does the Father have to say? What is God's standards? No, Marty, we're doing God's ministry. We're doing, and they're just, it's all about the second commandment, what Paul brings up. A lot of times he cuts out the Father of the first commandment, you know.
Yeah.
And so does anybody care about what God thinks about this stuff? So, anyway.
Very good.
It's like the Church of Philadelphia.
Okay, say that again, Rachel.
Oh, I was saying.
I said you're on target right there with that. He, when he says in Galatians, this is the whole of the law, that you love your neighbor as yourself. People are not recognizing, the majority of people are not recognizing that he just slapped the Father in the face and completely cut him out of the picture. So in other words,
that's exactly right.
In his crafty way, through flatteries, he just negated the Father.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And so, that's, you got it right on the money. That's the thing. And I'm seeing that. And I got Catholic friends, you know, I do remodeling of houses. So I'm in people's houses all the time. And I've got several of my current customers that every time I'm with them, they want to talk about the Bible. And I don't bring up controversial things. I try to bring them up the character of the Father, the character and the purpose of why we're even here on earth, and try to get them interested and hooked on, okay, I need to test the scriptures. And you know, you got to be careful because, you know, you, it's amazing how fast they'll slam a door on you, you know. And so, but
there's
I don't want to be like
people.
Paul. Paul said, Paul said that in my connivingness or in my whatever it is, I won you over. Why are you condemning me or something? It's like, but I don't want to use conniving, but I also know there's a tactfulness way to handle
God
people,
abounds
you know?
More through my lie. Yeah. If the truth of God abounds more through my lie, why am I yet condemned as a sinner?
Exactly.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, I'm terrible at first. Yeah. And so
Proverbs says exactly why he's to be condemned.
Yeah.
For lying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, and I have a hard time even now looking at anybody who even quotes any verses from Paul. And I find myself clicking off. Yeah, I can't. The guys can't. When people say, well, he said some truth. Yeah, that's how a true counterfeiter will say a bunch of truthful things to hide his lies. But his character to me is totally disrupted, and I cannot trust anything of his character. And so that's,
and
to me, the bottom line is
truth over his doctrine, which makes it a lie. If you
if you're following me,
you know?
Yes,
it would be,
I know what
true
you're saying. Yeah.
If said for the true Messiah, but he's talking about the Messiah that he invented that he supposedly met in the desert. The true Messiah said, they will tell you that I will be in the desert. Believe it not.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yep. And so, but it's amazing. Three quarters, most of the people quote Paul three quarters of the verses. I went to an Awana's group with my granddaughter, and I made a statement on Facebook, and I knew some people would see that stuff. And several people just really came at me. And it's like I said, they all taught Paul. They never quoted a verse of Jesus and taught repentance. Repentance was not mentioned at all. And the, you know, Awana's book, it's a big, it's a good program, I mean, with kids and play and stuff, but they're teaching Pauline and doctrine. And I lost my train of thought. Where I was going with that. Yeah, but it's just frightening because it's all about, the cover of the book said Adventures in Grace. And it's like, show me where Jesus taught that. Jesus never said that at all. You know,
yeah. Never
Jesus,
once said
Jesus
word,
told
right.
Paul,
that,
yeah. Jesus told us, told Paul to teach us. It's like, show me where it says that. Show, you know, nobody. Anyway, I don't want to get going on that. It's disheartening.
No,
so I want to encourage my granddaughter.
For.
Yeah, I sit down with my granddaughter and I said, okay, Bella, look at this. And I used the example where Jesus, as they walked into town, and I can't tell you where it's at. And Peter goes, who sinned? Did this man who was born blind? Did he sin or did his parents sin? And Jesus said, no, neither. It was for the glory of God and this and that. So I use that little text. I said, now watch this, Bella. The words of Jesus is God's word. When Peter makes a statement, was that God's word? Peter was actually believing a lie, and Jesus set him straight. He said, neither. But so I was trying to explain to her, as you read the Bible, even though you're Awana's, look and see who said it. If Jesus said it, then you know it's God's word. You know, and stuff. And so I was trying to figure out how to get it to where her mind can translate what they're saying to her, because my boys went to Awana, but they also knew moral government, you know, from Charles Finney, and they knew right from wrong, and they, we never ever taught grace, you know. And so, isn't that funny? I believed in Paul, but I never taught grace. That just cracks me up how I didn't fall for that. But Finney didn't either. Finney, when you read his books, he constantly was fighting against Calvinism, which he thought was the enemy. He didn't realize that Paul was the enemy, and that's where Calvin got some of his stuff, you know.
Right. Right, exactly.
But God used, I mean, Finney, I mean, it's incredible. He walked into a building, and people just knew his ministry, and they instantly broke down and crying under conviction and need for repentance. He preached repentance, and that's why I think the Holy Spirit blessed him so much, you know. And so, anyway, that's another.
Absolutely.
See, I want to get on fire like that. I just, it's like, Lord, what do I need to do to get my life in line with whatever's happening now, you know. I just, I don't know what to do, I guess. So if you can tell me, I'm a push-button person, and I get disgusted because it's, Lord, let me tell me which button to push, Lord, and I'll make it happen. And he says, no, that's not my way of doing it. And so I have to sit back and wait. So, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, what you want and what you're ready for are two different things at this point.
Yeah. And so you and I haven't, we haven't talked for a while or whatever. I guess sometimes I get certain subjects I've had to back off from. But, you know, I had COVID back in January, and 2 months ago I found out I got scoliosis of the spine. And supposedly I've had it for years, but now I'm 62 and it's starting to affect me in my work and stuff. And it's like my wife said, in your brokenness, you have had to turn closer to the Father. He said, if you were up and running, my wife's awesome, you know. But she said, if you were up and running, doing what you're doing, you wouldn't spend nearly the time praying. You wouldn't spend nearly the time studying. He said, if God hadn't allowed this stuff to happen to you, you'd be off still running the business and our rentals and all that other stuff, you know. And he's making me see what it's like to have a disease. The word disease scared me until I went to a friend's funeral who was younger than I am. And I realized it could be worse. You know, and so, but in our brokenness, he's just making things, it's just outstanding what he's doing. And so a friend, another lady who I PM with on Facebook, she asked me questions once in a while. I said, hon, you have got to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. You've got to learn and be able to hear his still soft voice to know and recognize what is a thought that is along the line of what he wants. And not a thought of the enemy or your own. You got to distinguish your own thoughts. And it just takes practice, you know. I said, you cannot keep asking everybody what you should do, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. So, we can't glean the Holy Spirit from other people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it only
but
comes
it's easy
from one
when,
source.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so, and I told her, you have to learn to be able to search your scriptures. I said, there's nice. I'll lay there and I'll just kind of flip through the Bible and all of a sudden, or what happens is like you on one of your postings or, you know, someone will post something and I'll just have a check inside and you'd be like, man, that's my topic for the night. I'll spend the next hour and a half searching that topic out, what that person said. It's like, Lord, is this of you? But it's got my attention and I want to see what I need to learn out of it.
Excellent.
And I said, he works through people all the time. Even if they're not good people, he'll bring something up, you know? And so,
it's donkeys.
Yeah. Another friend of mine here a while back, he got back on cocaine. Him and I were meeting for over a year. And all of a sudden, during my back time, I lost work for 8 weeks. And all of a sudden, he started not calling me and getting a hold of me. Well, the stress from his – and he got married to a girl because he had her child. He's trying to get right with God. He knows the commandments. He says, I'm trying to live right. I want to obey God. So they got married. And they just had another baby and the stress of all that stuff. But I said, I had a feeling something was going on, but I physically was unable to go find you because I'll go to his house. You know, I don't care. I'll knock on his door and if he doesn't want to answer or something. But now he's back off of it again. And so I've been, you know, he's been contacting me. And that's the whole thing. We need discipleship. Us guys need to go after guys and help guys be the men that we need to be, you know. Because I told him, I said, I'm not superior to you. I just happen to be older than you and maybe a little more experienced. But I said, I need you. I have very few friends that I can confide in anymore, you know.
Oh, that's neat.
And so
that's neat.
It's just, but, yeah, they've got to, and even a guy who's moved an hour or so away, when he's in town, he texted me, can we get together for lunch? And so, but he's also confessed to me, to the bottom line, he says, Marty, I'm afraid to give my whole heart to God. I've lived the Christian life my whole life. I know I don't hear from him. I know I don't have the peace. I don't, you know, but he says, I don't know where to go with him anymore. I don't know what to say to him because I said, you know, I don't, I've got some hard cases, but the guys, I told them I want to be faithful to them, you know, and they're faithful to me. And so this one guy that I just said, I've been meeting with him almost 3 years now. And so on a biweekly basis for an hour or so. You always set time limits, otherwise I'm a talker, so I get in trouble that way. And so, but I don't know how to, I don't know how, what's holding him up in his heart, you know. He says, that's the bottom line. I'm afraid to give my whole heart to the Lord because I don't know what God will ask me to do. And so that's, I don't know. So I could just be friends and love him, I guess, for now, so.
Yeah,
he's seen me
and
my ups and downs.
Together.
Yeah. You know, he understands the Paul thing. He understands the Torah. He says he's been recently not having to. He said God put me on a different shift, and he says I work the day shift now. I used to have to work Saturdays, but now since I've been trying, he's trying to live the Christian life on his own power. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. He's making the right choices, but he still cannot, in his deepest of heart, say that the Father is his Lord and Master. You know. So, but mm-hmm. Anyway, I'll shut up. I've been talking too much. So.
No, not at all.
You'll regret
from
it.
Me. I haven't heard from you forever.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, we go in phases. Like I say, I've been following Judaism a little bit because I want to know. I think I got it in my head. I am, let's see, how do I say that? I'm a messianic follower of the Messiah, I guess, is my newest phrase, because I realize now the separation of God's people from the state of Israel. And so when people tell me, oh, you're trying to be a Jew, I said, no, I am God's people. I am grafted in to his people because I want to obey his Torah. I want to live and follow his feast days. I want to be as he says. But I said, I've got it's just overwhelming since I was never grew up knowing any of this stuff. You know, I don't want to be a Jew. Yeah, but I don't want to be. I don't even like. What's that?
Nobody's grafted in. You just quoted Paul.
I'm learning that too. I'm still trying to erase some of the Pauline doctrine. That is so tough. Yeah. Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even matter if we're blood, you know, 100% blood. If we're not keeping and walking in his ways, we're thrown out of the camp.
Oh, I know. So. Revelation is so absolutely clear. And, people don't even want to listen to that if I even bring up some of the Revelation verses, you know. And so mm-hmm. It's like, guys, this is – Jesus told his own disciples, if you deny me, I'll deny you before the Father, you know. And so he wasn't no I appreciate you sharing that. See, I know you well enough that doesn't offend me, so to speak, because I can't believe how much Pauline doctrine I've got to erase and how much he completely affected the whole gamut of everything.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I know.
I'm even decided trying to work on about Jesus going to the cross. I'm trying to work on my views of the atonement. I've actually thrown away my old view and keep modifying. I don't have a problem. I know I'm walking and heading the right direction. So even if I don't have it all together in each one of the doctrinal areas, my purpose is to follow what the Lord says, you know?
Yeah.
And I get that.
We should all be broad. We should all remember that and just take it easy and not get so excited or, you know, worked up about something, not sweat over it so hard. It's like in his time, he reveals things to us. Or we just need to set it on the back burner for now and move on with something else.
That's,
you know, just keep on.
That's right. Yeah. I have a number of back burner things. There's a young man that has been following me and which I hear a lot of background noise there, so.
Yeah, me too.
Or is that Rachel trying to talk on something else?
No, I was muted. If you have background noise, please mute yourself.
I hear little kids.
Yeah, it must be somebody else.
Child, in your background, please put yourself on mute. Thank you, Marty.
Put your
not
child
me.
On mute.
My youngest son's in his 30s. So, I hate that. I lost my train of thought there. This other young man, he told me he was expressing to me about his salvation, and he's been walking with the Lord for about a year now. But he got hooked into going all to the extreme views of different controversies, and it's like he was almost too young because. He said, I was ready to walk away from all this stuff. But it's like the Father has always said, people forget what I've done for them. And that's the thing I reminded him. I said, what has the Father done for you in this past year? Start writing it down. Document a diary of what the Father has clearly shown you that you could not have made it up yourself. I said, that is what kept me straight as I look back at what the Father showed me over the years. And I keep try to stay in line with that. Because he says, that's why Israel kept forgetting what God had done. And he has to turn around and start all over with him, you know. But to me, my being ground in what he has clearly shown me that I could not have made up in the past, even if my words was wrong, he still did certain things that are are very clear. So, but I haven't heard from this young guy. As a matter of fact, I should PM him and check up on him and see what he's doing, you know, and stuff. And so, but it's scary when people say they follow you and you don't know it. It's like, I am really accountable, Lord. Everything that comes out of my mouth.
Know.
Yeah.
And I think over half of the people that read our posts or things, you know, that we're sharing, don't even give you a thumbs up or a heart or a dislike or anything. They just read it. We don't really know how many people are touching or affecting.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I also have to remember that I first learned about Torah, and then later on I learned about Paul. So for me, or was it the other way around? No, yeah, it was the Torah, because I questioned my pastor. My pastor said the Sabbath could be any day I want. I thought, that doesn't sound, it doesn't set right with me. So that started me searching, and then I found one of the Torah guys, but he also happened to be a once-saved, always-saved guy. So I thought, okay, I'll take him here when I can learn, and I'll go on to somebody else, you know. And so not everybody, all of us, none of us have it all everything in order right now and stuff. But I can't, you know, you glean from what you can, and I don't know if that's scriptural, spit out the bones, that phrase that they used to say, eat and spit out the bones or something.
Yeah, it's not.
I don't know.
Well,
it's
we definitely need to be on our way out of Babylon. And be celebrating that feast of unleavened bread in our hearts at all times and looking for leaven in our lives and removing it and not turning back to it, you know.
Yes.
And you said something a minute ago where you said that the Messiah said, if you deny me, I will deny you before the Father. And I think therein lies another one of Paul's very artistic ways in getting man to deny the Messiah by changing what the Messiah was all about and getting people to buy into that. And through buying into a false version of the Messiah, they're denying the true one.
Exactly. Perfect.
And
yes,
it was
exactly.
much more successful than trying to get people to tear themselves away from the Messiah, right?
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, it's
my observation.
Ariel?
But,
hey.
There was a, you know, can you hear me okay or not?
Yeah.
Hello?
Okay. Should I go on or not?
Yes, go on.
Oh, there we go. Okay. The other day, matter of fact, it was yesterday, I had a gentleman who,
can you hear your voice down?
Let me just say, I hear somebody saying hello.
I think that's Chelsea.
Referring to herself, named
me.
Alaa.
Realize I was on the air.
Rachel
unmuted you.
Hey, how's it going?
I don't even see her number on here, though. That's really weird. What is your area code?
It's a 604.
Okay, I saw you earlier, and then you dropped off. I don't see it anymore. That's really weird.
Oh.
Okay, my phone's not updated because of where I am, and it's lagging. I bet. Okay, well, welcome. I'm glad you made it today, Chelsea.
Thank you.
Just if you're not talking and you're back in the cloud, mute yourself from your end. And then if you want to come out and talk, you can unmute yourself. That way the recording is clearer for anyone listening. Does that make sense? You have a mute button on your phone. So if you're not talking, you can be on mute from your own phone. That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you. And just if you have something to say, feel free to unmute and pop on. We'll deal with the background noise if you truly have something to say, okay?
Right.
That's what I do as well. I keep myself on mute until I'm ready to talk.
Yeah, I didn't even know. Sorry.
It's okay. And many times we forget we've muted ourselves and we're just talking away.
Right.
Yeah.
I did it last week.
Yeah. So,
Marty, you were saying?
Yeah. One of the things when you said when Rachel said about coming out of Babylon, and the other day, Friday, we got a big job coming up, and a guy said, I want to pay you some money up front. And he says, here's $5,000 in cash, and that way it'll help you so you don't have to turn it in. And I said, well, I appreciate that, but I stand before God, and I know our system and all this here stuff, but I said in the past, he's made it clear to me. He says, Marty, if I give you something, I want you to keep it in the paper trail. So I said, this will go right to the bank, and it will, you know, I'm not going to skim it off and stuff. Because years ago, that was an issue. Where is the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law? Where do I uphold to the state and stuff? But God has, the Father has kept us in the black. And I could, and I shared with this guy, I said, when I had COVID, shortly before, anyway, I deposited the cash. So, but that opened the door for me to witness to him. I said, when I had COVID in January, there was about a month before that, that we realized we were heading into winter and where jobs were slow. And we can see we're going to be in a financial crisis here pretty soon. And I didn't know I was going to have COVID. And on a Friday, my wife and I said, you know, we have several rental houses. And she said, we could sell the 18th Street house because that has the least amount to do, or to work to do on it. But she said, because she manages the properties. And so she said, but the guy's been there for 7 years. What do we do with him? How do we get rid of him? Well, on Saturday, we both agreed, which is usually a miracle because her and I don't agree on anything, said, we'll call this guy on Monday and we'll try to figure out what to do and where to put him and stuff like this because we know we're going to need to sell money because it takes 2 months to sell a house, you know, by the time the paperwork. Monday, while I was at work, the utilities company called me and Mary Lynn said, Marty, the guy on 18th Street has moved out this weekend and can we go ahead and put the utilities back in your name? Because they always have to get permission. And I just fell over backwards. And I called my wife. I said, the guy moved out this weekend. Father has been dealing with stuff, and it must have put it on your heart that, you know, anyway, this and that. I'm not trying to over-spiritualize stuff. We went there Monday evening after work, and, yeah, he left some stuff. But we found out he'd gotten a divorce, but he never told us. And he couldn't afford to live there. And within a week of me getting the virus for 8 days, the realtor, we put it on the market, the second person bought it, and it took care of our bills. Father took care of our bills for January and February. And it's like, I could not have planned that. See, I used to believe you should not be in debt to the lender and stuff. You know, I used to believe all this stuff, but Father, shortly 2 years before that, two brothers came to me and said, Dad said he's dying right now. He said he wants you to have the first opportunity to buy 6 properties of his at tax value because you've always taken care of him and Mom. And Mom passed away and now Dad and stuff. So I said, well, I don't have a dime, but I'll talk to the bank. And the bank said, oh, yeah, here, we'll loan you money because we know how to fix stuff up. But I've learned that I don't even ask the Lord anymore for certain things because, Lord, I am learning your Torah. I'm learning to walk in your ways. I'm following your son. The harder and more I try to do the right thing, he covers my backside. Mm-hmm. And so this 5,000, 3 years ago, I would have taken that 5 and just stuffed it in my drawer. But he said, no, that's not honoring me. I want you, we don't realize how wonderful it is when we obey him out of love, not out of legalism. See, and to me, this guy, he just sat there who gave me the cash and he also wrote a check for some other money. He just like, he couldn't respond to it. He said, well, that's wonderful, Marty. That's all he could say. Because it's like, God did all this stuff. And I don't have to ask him. See, and so now I'm hoping that we're going to be able to talk again. But to me, that opened the door because I'm not sharing doctrine or I'm sharing the reality of what God can do in our life. It's a testimony. To me, the testimony, nobody can argue with your testimony, you know. And so I just, he keeps opening doors. And I'm going to be living at this guy's house, all new windows, all new siding. So we're going to be there for a while and stuff.
Beautiful.
So, I look forward.
Nowhere on that money was your name.
Yeah. You
know,
oh, no.
Federal Reserve notes, and basically that would be Caesar's mammon anyway, you know, render to Caesar what's Caesar's.
Exactly. And this guy's had this money for a while because one of the bills, the banker, I went inside because we work for the banks too, but the banker ladies found one of the $50 bills that was printed in 1950. And she said, this guy's had this money for a while. It's like, yeah, because they were going through sorting bills out because they weren't going to deposit them unless they do their usual checking stuff, you know, and stuff. And so she said, how many times did you ever walk in here with $5,000 with a cash in your hands, you know? And so they were checking everything out. But now he gets opportunities. It's like, go ahead. Rachel.
No, finish your thought, and then I'll jump in.
No, that's it. I'm done.
Okay.
I'm done. So, yeah.
So I wanted to see if I could pick Aaron's brain on what you said a second ago and his correction of it on being grafted in, which I understand from the perspective of Paul, that is an incorrect statement.
Right.
But if pointed toward the truth, is it true? Because, you know, there's a lot of verses that the sojourner and anyone passing through that saw and observed the Father and his ways could stop and be circumcised if they were male and join in with the Passover and join in and become a part of the family. So the wording may not be wonderful because it's associated with his quote, but the picture of it is indeed true, right? I mean, and we forget that most of the Jews were rejected because they had rejected the Father and his ways. So you have that, it's the remnant that is saved. It's those that, whether they be Jew or whether they not be Jew, it's those that follow the Father and have that reciprocal relationship, as you said, following him out of love, not legalism. And so I just wanted to pick your brain on it, Aaron, and say, is that how you feel about it? Is that on the mark, in your opinion?
Oh, yes, I agree. I mean, that's what it says. And Paul is not quoting Torah. He's not even, you know, not at all. He's not even quoting Messiah, as we know there. Messiah never said anything about a wild or cultivated olive tree anywhere.
Right.
And
doesn't Ezekiel say something where he even accepts that, don't let the Enoch say that he's not this, but I have a place for him in my
dry tree,
wherever. Yeah.
Yes.
So. Well, Father's look, seeking his eyes are open to and fro, looking for anyone whose hearts are turned toward him. And to me, that's the most encouraging thing I can ever tell people is he's looking for you. He's looking. Just, you got to seek him and find him. And so I get people that they say, oh, I believe this. Or it's like, hon, we got to do it his way. He's the one to set it up. He's the establisher. I believe it's your bet. And so we got to fight for knowing his way.
You're breaking up a little bit there, Mari. Sorry. I'm trying to listen.
Well, I think my battery's about dead. My battery's starting to beep here. And so I'm going to probably have to.
Just plug it in.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I'm on the cell phone right now. I don't know if don't cell phones blow up if you're talking when they're plugged in?
Yeah.
Tell me that. They're not.
Yeah, you can plug it in and keep using it. It's not the greatest thing to put next to your head while it's charging, though. Of course, you know that health, they're not the greatest thing to have. I try to use the headphones whenever possible and keep the phone a little ways away from me.
Okay, yeah, my battery cord is not very long here. That's probably what happened is I'm starting to get the battery go down and stuff. So. And,
it could be.
I thought
maybe you just walked into a different room or something.
No, I'm sitting still. We're down in a hole. And so when we first moved here 20 years ago, when we first got cell phones, you'd see my boy stand out on the road trying to get a signal. And so and I still got a flip phone. I'm the old, I'm just not good with technology and I hate it when I just want a simple phone that I can call out on. I don't want all this garbage that's on it. You know, my wife's into everything. She's got pads. She's got, you name it. She sets everything up, but I just, I did a study on that, that thing you talk to in your room to make phone calls for you.
Alexa?
Alexa, yeah. When I started when I started studying the Old Testament on the idolatry, their idols made them, a lot of times idols was a status symbol. And to have an idol stand there, be on your counter, and you realize how wonderful it would be if the idols, you could ask them a question and they could answer it. You could ask them to call, where's my wife, and they could find where your wife's at. To me, that is the ultimate, this is my own opinion, personal idol. When you study what the idols were expected to do, if you put an idol that you went and bought downtown and put it on somewhere and it brought you prosperity, where it brought you this, it brought all the things. If you look on the idolatry and study it in the Old Testament, yeah, why they wanted the idols, that, what do you just call it? Anyway,
Alexa.
That one
Alexa
does it.
Yeah.
Alexa does it. You know, it's like she, that idol, since me, my wife and I agree, we're never going to have it in the house because it, and now they're wondering if it records so much stuff, can they use it in court against you now? And then can China, pretty soon, they can monitor you if you're talking about the Bible and against the state. And to me, Alexa is just letting the whatever into your home, you know. Right now, my cell phone, if it's not on, then nobody can trace me. Nobody can find me. I'm just, it frightens me. And I think one of my old guys, he's 90-some years old. He owns a store in town. He goes, Marty, you were taught on calculators. You don't know how to add. You build houses for people, and you can't even add figures in your head. You have to sit down and use a calculator. And now you guys have this Google Earth stuff, and people now can't even figure out what direction they're going. They have to ask their car how to get someplace. We're going to be so reliant on this stuff that we won't know how to, you know, how much is this? My grandson Dakota, he can out. When you pull up at a drive-through, and you hand them a 20, and it's 17.23, he within seconds before the cash register, he can add in his head how much change you're getting back. And he has sat there at school, and he's challenged people to do an addition thing, and he can add it, tell you the answer faster because he has that ability in his head to add that. And so we can't, you know, it's sad. We're going to get so lazy that pretty soon. We're not, when China or whoever is going to shut us down, we're not going to know how to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me about toilet paper.
It's like we're doing this weekend because, you know, if you don't learn some survival skills and get away and unplug once in a while, then, you know, it's just.
Yeah.
It's just.
Oh, I agree. I don't even know what a poison. No. Oh, and that's the most ridiculous thing in the world,
isn't it?
The whole toilet
isn't
paper
it?
Thing.
Yeah.
I can't grasp it. We know people work at Walmart that would call me and say they would hold it for me and stuff. It's like, okay, this is just insane. How many sheets of toilet paper do you have to use? But no, that's the thing. See, go ahead.
Oh, when you said telling me.
Go ahead. No, you're fine. Go ahead, Rachel. I'm talking too much.
I was just going to say, no, you're fine. I was just going to ask Aaron if he wanted to share what he was telling me last night about the doctors and what they were finding, or do you think that's too rich?
Oh, I think Marty might have shared that with me on Messenger, too. If it wasn't Marty, it was something similar, Marty, that... And if you didn't share that with me, I'll forward it to you. But it was a doctor, a woman, that had quite a few clients that it seemed, you know, she was saying that most of her clients had already received the vaccine, this jab. And she was conversing with her other, you know, with other colleagues, and they were all coming to the same conclusion that what they believed at first was wrong, but they're looking at the evidence of what was happening to these people, and then through blood tests as well. The first injection lowers our ability to it lowers our immune system, and it lowers our ability to make more white blood cells, and by less than 70%. The second jab lowers it down even further to almost 20 to 25%. Of blood cell production, and then you're primed and ready to take the booster. And she said what they found in the booster is HIV.
Yeah, I think I seen that same video. Somebody sent it to me. Yes, I think I know what you're talking about. It's frightening, yeah.
Well, and it sounds like you're seeing people up in the phase two of whatever, you know, to have very low immune systems where they can't fight it.
Right.
Oh, well,
I just got through.
Mask will do that.
Yeah, I got through getting my shingle shot because one of the locksmith guys that we work with got the shingles. And I talked with him and stuff, and it's like it was a wicked thing. And then I started doing research on it. But see, the shingle shot, I have a choice. I personally paid for it, and I'm amazed that the second one was even worse because I was sick for almost 48 hours afterwards. But several people who I know have had the shingles themselves and said they're far worse than the shot will ever be. But there's no way I'm going to get the COVID shot. My wife, I got several other relatives and stuff that are determined that, you know, just from the research, what you said, you know. And mm-hmm. and again, my whole thing, even my doctor, I told my doctor, I said, the reason I don't want a shingle or get a COVID shot is because you remember when I had it in January, you were not allowed by the government to give me the two medicines were taken off the market that would have helped me. They denied my doctor for helping me on a drug. And and I went over to my pharmacist and talked to him because we do remodeling at his place too. And he said, Marty, I'll get in trouble. I'll lose my license if I sell these drugs to you. But I know that this is the first time in American history that two drugs were taken off the market who have proven records that do work properly. And he told my pharmacist told me that. And I said, right there, that because the government, that's my excuse, is that I have it documented between two nurses, a doctor, and a pharmacist, all said they cannot give me the drug that would help me. And that
is
totally
criminal. You can go to Ashland Finch or whatever the co-op it's called down there where they have animal feed and also the injections that you can give to your animals, newborns and things like that.
Okay.
That for some reason, the animal products are so much more clean than what they give to humans.
Yes.
And they don't mass produce them like they do for the humans. So they don't always have the preservatives in them. Of course, the preservatives that they're putting in them kill the animals, whereas humans have a little bit more resilient. Shingles are a result of, and this is proven, shingles are a result of a compromised immune system failing.
Right.
Your immune system is failing when you get shingles.
Right.
And a lot of drugs will actually cause that shingles to come on.
Right. See, that's what I found when I was trying to research it, but I was trying to make an intelligent decision. But once I knew a guy personally, then I thought, okay, this is and Nick's he's an ex-state patrol guy, or he's an ex-sheriff, deputy sheriff, and he's a husky guy, but it took him out for a while. He said he ended up having to go to the hospital because of it and stuff. And so I, anyway, but, yeah, so.
Well,
my father-in-law had a bout with
it. The vaccine is shingles itself.
Right.
Okay, I didn't hear that first part.
One of the side effects of the vaccine is shingles itself. So the question I ask myself is, do I trust my father or do I trust this?
Well, see, okay, that's a good question, Rachel. Yeah, that is a hard question because when I got the COVID virus, I literally said, I'm not going to get the COVID because I'm trusting my father. See, and so, but when I had it and went through it, that was absolutely, I have a video on that. That was the most blessed time that I spent in hacking and coughing and hurting, worshiping the Lord. My mind was perfectly clear. And I believe that the Father, he gave me the joy of the Lord back. I had lost that for years because of my rebellion and not following and obeying him. But the joy of the Lord, when I got over shingles, I had to go out driving and I had to yell. And I was so excited. It's just like when Revelation says that you need to go back to your first love. Yeah, he gave me my first love back. You know, the freshness of knowing the Father and the Son.
Right.
So to me, I was so happy I got the shingles. That was the best week or so I've had in a long time. And so,
not the shingles.
But I can also – no, I mean, I'm sorry. I said, yeah, COVID thing. That was back in January. Yeah. No, I haven't got shingles. So it's hard.
Blue.
I want to have faith. I want to have just what Rachel said, but – I just don't seem to, I don't have the mustard seed, you know.
Sure you do.
What I'm hearing, if I can say so ever so, diplomatically, is the assumption that the choice is between a vaccine that works and trusting the Father. And what I'm trying to relay to you is that the choice is not a vaccine that works in all cases. I mean, in any case, really, when you look at introducing those foreign, you know, I just looked at just for the heck of it, while when you said that, what goes into a shingles vaccine? Because I know some of these ingredients are very, and I don't know if this is a complete list, but it's highly purified gelatin used as a stabilizer, urea, a harmless, quote, organic compound, which we know is urine, right? Uric acid. Sucrose sugar used as a stabilizer, sodium chloride or salt, neomycin, which is an antibiotic, harmless sodium. I mean, why are they using all these things like harmless? And potassium salt used as acidity regularity. And finally, they put the shingles, herpes, zoster virus in you. Right?
Right.
So the statistics, I mean,
which we all have.
Ronald Reagan in 1986 approved the vaccine court to pay out any vaccine injuries to anybody suffering from a vaccine failure. It could be anywhere from paralysis to getting, say, shingles from the actual vaccine to death, you know? And but the thing is, most people don't even know about vaccine court, but thank you very much. Are you aware? You're going to have to, it should be in that same container where you got all the other stuff in that bag.
Right.
Sack.
Yeah.
Sorry, she's trying to make me a hot coffee. I have a little bit of a headache. But I've lost my train of thought. Let me get back there. So the vaccine court, most people don't even know about it, but the very companies that produce the vaccines to do whatever they're said to do are not held accountable if something happens and they don't do what they're said they're supposed to do. And so you are basically, you are basically at the mercy of somebody that says that they're going to do what they said they're going to do, but have no consequences if they don't. And therefore there are no checks and balances. And we have checks and balances in all other medications, you know, and pharmaceutical type things that enter our body. And thank you very much, honey. And even with things that don't enter our body, there are checks and balances, but we're going to trust vaccines that have no checks and balances. And you know, there's a letter that you can take into your doctor that supposedly is going to administer this safe and effective vaccine and say to them, you know, guarantee me that this vaccine will be safe and effective. And if it doesn't, that I can turn around and sue you for X dollars if something happens to me.
Yeah.
And the doctor will not sign it. He will not sign it because, you know, they want to be held liable. It basically becomes on you if something happens to you because of the vaccine. Right?
Right,
so, you have up to $200,000, which isn't a lot of money if you're paralyzed, can go and try and prove that the vaccine caused your paralysis or whatever it caused, Bell's palsy or, you know, type of cerebral palsy or, you know, there's all kinds of vaccine injuries that, you know, so, I mean, to be aware. But the person that's wanting to come out of Babylon and follow the Father needs to be aware that you are basically introducing
dis-ease, you mentioned that word earlier, disease, dis-ease
right.
into your body to save your body from disease. And so,
right.
you know, it's something to think about and pray about, and definitely one of the areas that
yeah.
his children need to get on their knees about, especially when in Revelation it talks about pharmakeia being witchcraft,
right.
you know,
right.
a wicked brew
yeah.
that's supposed to hocus pocus. Now you're okay. Now you're not going to get X whatever. Or did you just get
right.
tricked, like Paul tricked us into his doctrine, into
right.
putting something in your body that was unholy, and doing so, witchcraft is trickery. You're trying to trick your body not to get shingles by putting shingles in it. Or, you know, you could name
right.
any other disease. You're trying to trick your body into not getting measles by putting measles in it. You know, now all the
okay,
people
let
that
me,
have the vaccine are afraid of the unvaccinated.
Right. Can I? One thing that I was thinking when you're talking about that, my father-in-law, when he got bit by a rattlesnake, the medicine that they used for that came from the rattlesnake venom. You know what I'm saying?
Anti-venom.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just saying there are times that I think back of other vaccines, and I hear what you're saying. It's just like me with my lead poisoning. My doctor flat out said it's not in their system. I have to go to an alternative doctor to get my chelation treatments. I've had 37 of them, and it's sucked a lot of the lead poisoning out of my system now.
Oh,
and
good.
And so it is back to learning this stuff, and that's why I say we – and like right now I have, with my back, do I go get surgery? How many times have I prayed to the Father, or have I paid the price? Do I need to fast for a week, 40 days, or what, to get the Father – to heal my back, you know, so we can easily go to this, all this what if stuff, but yet I also know four customers who've gotten back surgery by one guy, and they've all been wonderful. See, so it's a hard subject.
Right. Absolutely.
So.
And I'm saying this to you as one that was fully all in both feet with vaccines. And, you know, my last vaccine that I got was, maybe a decade ago, right around a decade ago. And it was actually watching what happened to my daughter that opened my eyes to the dangers of it. But I still thought vaccines are safe. I thought that they were still effective, but not necessarily safe, because she almost died from a vaccine. And
right.
he showed me, I believe he showed me what to do to help her. And at any rate, I ended up volunteering for a Master of Oriental Medicine that freed me from the idea that vaccines are safe and effective, with a book by Neil Z. Miller. The title is The Question, Are Vaccines Safe and Effective? That is actually the title of the book. And because I had
right.
all kinds of questions, what about polio? Didn't vaccines cure polio? Well, actually, no, they didn't.
No, they didn't. I've read that too. Yeah,
gave us the
yeah.
illusion that they did, because the polio was already on the downward
run its course.
Of the yes, yeah. and when the vaccine was introduced, much like COVID, already on its downhill course when the vaccine was introduced. And and they had vaccine-induced polio, just like they have vaccine-induced shingles. And so you're relying on something very unreliable in the first place that there's no recourse for
right.
if you're in the numbers of those that has a very severe reaction.
What causes shingles?
React, of course.
What's the cause of shingles? What's the cause of a lot of these things? It's an immune system that's been compromised.
Yeah. They said, well, I don't have my paperwork on that. I looked some of that stuff up. I can't remember what the answer was.
Shingles is actually related to the herpes virus that lives. It never, once it's
we
in
all
your
have
body,
it
never, and most all people
yes.
have it, like Aaron
yeah.
said, and it lives in your spinal cord. And when you're especially under a great immense amount of stress, it doesn't like living in your spinal cord anymore, because your nerves are all frazzled, and it comes to live somewhere else. And that's why people get cold sores, or, you know, eruptions, you know, very unpleasant things. I did a very intensive paper on it.
Because your body is overtaxed and fighting something else.
Yeah. But anyway, in a lot of these vaccines, there's aborted fetal tissue. There's animal cocker spaniel pig DNA and monkey DNA. We're actually, you know, putting foreign DNA into our body, and it's just very questionable as somebody who, you know, wants to walk in the Father's ways, coming from somebody who did it. You know, it was like I said, I got bitten by a dog and went and got a tetanus vaccine, later realized and learned from a nurse in the know, your general white coat isn't going to know or tell you. But the nurses that are in the know will tell you if you if you come into contact with tetanus, number one, if you bleed really well, it's not going to affect you. Number two, if you truly have come in contact with tetanus and don't bleed very well, it's too late for you to run out and get a tetanus vaccine in the first place. But
they always tell me, since I'm a builder, that I need one. So I've always taken a tetanus shot whenever it was due.
Yep. And
I also bleed really well.
10 years.
So. We just have to get educated.
If I get cut or something, I bleed.
No.
Yeah. Right.
You know, because so far we have, I don't know what state you're in, but I
Nebraska.
Suspect it's New York, 402, Nebraska. Okay. Well, you know, in most states, there's three that you can't. But in most states, you can file a in good conscience exemption to, you know, and you can just tell people no, you know. I mean, they're trying to make this mandatory and that you're not going to be able to eat or travel or go to a restaurant. I had a text from Los Angeles Times this week stating that they were making it such that people that did not have the COVID vaccine in California basically couldn't go to a salon, couldn't go to a restaurant, couldn't travel.
Right.
So there's some very Hegelian, Nuremberg code violations going on, crimes against humanity, trying to force us to receive medical
Australia's
treatment that we
too.
Have not asked for. Perth, Australia.
Is
Melbourne and Perth are really bad, very, very bad.
Yeah.
California just last week said, I think it was they gave them 2 days, the parents, two weeks, to get their children vaccinated. Or the CPS would be sent to take their children away from
Where
them.
Where was this?
And same California. And they also said that if you're online school or homeschooled, you have 2 weeks to get your children vaccinated and take them, enroll them in a public school.
Yeah.
Or
see, that's
reason why, even though my daughter is 13, when she was 6 years old, she was discovered by the same woman who discovered Britney Spears. She worked for Disney back when Britney auditioned. And we were out in California. She had been to like four competitions against from 50 to 500 children, and each and every time she won first place in several things and second. She didn't get second, but she got third and honorable mentions. She always used to tell me that she wanted a second place trophy. She was so cute because she would get first and third all the time. But she auditioned for the movie Gifted. She was discovered by Tina Treadwell with Treadwell Entertainment, same lady
That's
that found Britney Spears. And she was offered they wanted her for the lead. That little blonde in the movie, it would have been her, except the conditions moving out to California, and in order to avoid the mandatory vaccines that just got signed into law, I would have had to homeschool which as a single parent would have been very difficult in California. But I just decided, I saw this coming, what you're telling me. that they were going to, that is a state that they are using as a testing ground to be very dictatorial in hopes of making all the other states follow suit. Yeah, and I didn't want her to be any part of that. And I also looked at Brittany's lab, and I'm like, you know, what am I doing? She can be, you know, we need to follow her and unplug from the satanic, you know. It sounds
Hollywood.
Really wonderful to have Hollywood want you, but Hollywood in and of itself is
a witch's wand.
The word itself comes from witchcraft. Yes, exactly.
It's
so,
one of 11 woods used in the wand to build the wands. Yeah, and that one lulls you to sleep, causes you to dream.
Mm-hmm. Yep, just like what
this disconnect from reality.
Wizard of Oz, the poppies did to Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. Yep.
California
poppies,
is also
I never
trying to go
that.
Back. trying to get people that moved out in the last 10 years and trying to get them to pay for 10 years of lost state revenue from paying taxes.
Are you serious?
Everybody, yeah.
See, I haven't watched
it.
I get so tired of the news. I get so tired of the news.
I do too.
You know,
I get it second.
Even when COVID,
actually.
Even when COVID broke out, we were here and we were working on a treatment place. We're taking a rest home and remodeling it into a drug treatment place. And, you know, I heard about it, but our small town, you know, 7,000 people, it's like, no, we didn't even start wearing masks, but all I did was monitor as a contractor. I monitored who was coming in and out of this building, and all the plumbers, the same plumbers, the same electricians, you know, everybody. So the only one that was we called strays was the electrical inspector and the fire marshal and stuff. See? So we didn't make anyone wear a mask, but we also knew that even the sprinkler system guys that came out of the town north of us, they said they went home and their bosses brought them all the needed tools. You know, when the shutdown came, they brought them all the needed parts, so we kept our job going and stuff. But our town kept functioning, but everyone used what we called common sense practices and not what the state told us to do. And so, you know, but so when you I hear California, I hear all that stuff. It takes a long time to hit the Midwest. And really affect us here, I guess, sometimes. So, which is a blessing, you know.
Yeah.
We only have three.
Hopefully
we have four stoplights in our. Yeah, we have four stoplights in our town. So that shows you how big we are. And the only traffic jams we have is when the high school lets out. And so, we're
nice.
Really
funny.
Blessed to be here. It is. It's just. And the only crimes we still have crimes and drugs and everything, but they all have to come from out of state or out of town to come here. And stuff, but the treatment
right.
thing I had, that's a whole nother story. I had such high hopes, and we donated and knocked off hours and tried to, but then it's all Pauline grace, you know, you can't never stop sinning, you can, but they want them to get free from drugs. I sat there and listened to some of the stuff during the Bible studies, and I just couldn't stand it, and then they wouldn't let me teach there anymore, so. You know, why would you
so
tell somebody that
you
can't stop sinning, but yet you can get off drugs? You know, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, or you can do all things through Christ Jesus. Remember, I'm quoting Paul here. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you, except keep the Torah, right? That's impossible.
Oh, I know. And the whole thing there is that you're blaming I got back into drugs.
Yeah.
If I got back into drugs, because Jesus failed me. They're blaming him. And stuff, and so, some of that makes me so mad. But I have to remember, we all came out of that teaching and thinking. That
well,
vein.
And the Pauline doctrine also teaches that if you are an addict, that the Father understands that, and He understands your heart is trying to get thin, but basically, you know. I don't know, you know.
It's a cop-out.
But James deals with that, what sin is.
Yes, he does, yep.
Yes.
Yep. Thank
and
you,
Jude ripped Paul apart, even though he doesn't say his name. But I tell people, they go, well, Jude and James and them guys, they don't use Paul's name specifically. I said, yeah, but there wouldn't be a test if they gave the answer
neither
to
does John.
Who the false person was. You know, the Father, I still believe that Paul's a test. He's a perfect example of what we're not supposed to be, but we're never compared, we know what you're taught not to question the quote scriptures, but Paul is a perfect example of everything we're not supposed to be. And so,
yes,
he just
exactly.
Especially
John,
when he ripped
John
the other disciples.
So many clues too.
Because John, you know, he came out from among us.
Oh, you mean those that seem to be pillars? Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Oh,
exactly. Oh, Galatians 2 and 5. Yeah. All of Galatians.
And they call them
the
super apostles, you know, and stuff. And
yeah.
So. But really, I think Paul in Acts or someplace, he quotes, he says, I was only there he only spent 14 days. And it was with Jesus' brother and with Peter. And
Peter,
he actually said that he spent so little time with them. And it's like, so how could he be part of them? And so I need to get going here. It's what, 4 something here.
Yeah.
And so I got to go meet, and stuff. And so anyway, well, it's been a blessing to be with you guys. I'm sorry I rattled too much. And I'm glad you reminded me.
Absolutely. Not at all.
Please remind me.
Marty,
remind
this
me again.
Is Christy,
yes, ma'am.
South Carolina. I just wanted to say hi. I've been listening.
Oh, hi. South Carolina.
Hi.
Okay, awesome.
Yes.
So.
Yes,
but
I just wanted to.
Are you on Facebook?
Because you said some really good things and with Paul, and it reminded me of 1 John 4:6, where John was kind of they all were going against what Paul was saying, and Paul and John said, "We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So I just thought I'd add that.
Yeah, that's exactly it is. But Paul tells us everything that he wants you to believe about it. I'm the best. I'm special. I'm wonderful. I do all this. You know, he brags about being persecuted. Oh my goodness, that's
and
not something to brag about.
And then he grovels too, so then he gets all of his bases covered.
He does. He does.
Yeah.
He's a perfect Pharisee. And so,
what is that?
And that's what Jesus,
Marty. Where he says that his afflictions are making up for what was lacking in Messiah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Gag. Gag.
Yeah. What did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul's war stories, and they just love it. They're just like, look what he did, and he's just talking about himself. I mean, that's the spirit of error, I think, not from the truth.
Yeah. It's the pride and stuff, but it's just amazing. Well, I guess, I don't know, when we pray, how do we pray for people to have their eyes opened? But yet Jesus said, many times I spoke in parables because that if those who see will not, you know, it's like they're accountable. Right. If the Holy Spirit opens somebody's eyes and they rejected the information Jesus gives them, then it's worse on them. It's a way I understand it. Anyway.
I think the question that you just answered is answered. The question that you just asked is answered by the Messiah when he said, "When ye pray in this manner, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive the trespasses of others. And thy kingdom come." I may be missing a line. I'm not sure, but going on around me. But if I miss the line, you can tell me. But I think he's basically telling us right there the answer to our question, because we have all kinds of prayers. And we were talking about this last week. The emphasis that the Father put on us in that manner was, rather than asking him for things, he wanted us to hear him. He didn't want he over and over and over, his plea to us was, hear my voice,
right,
follow my law,
do my
way.
That's true.
And, you know, and so I think that And the Messiah also said, "None that the Father hath given me shall fall out of my hand." So take comfort in, and I do agree with Aaron in what he said, you know, we can always fall away.
But I also think that if we could fall away, we were never in his hand to start with, because he's very adamant that none that are in my hand shall ever, I shall not lose one that is in my hand. Something to that.
The only thing is,
your job is
the free will.
Ask the Father in that moment, what would you have me to say to X person? Give me a parable, give me a seed, you know, if you would have me say anything to them at all, and just listen to his voice and see what he gives you, you know, and be that voice to that person, you know, at that time. That's
right.
Kind of how
and
I
see, that's
it,
where,
but,
right. See, a couple of years ago, one of the things that I found was, it's like, who's going to stand up for the Father? And are you, he wants me to be interested in what he's interested in. And it's taken me a long time to get my away from Paulinian doctrine and from seeing, I always think I should be in ministry, but yet our main thing is to minister to the Father. And so out of that, then comes the other stuff. And when you talk about his hand, I still look at that he says, it's in my hand. My free will still has choice, just as Judas did, to eventually choose to walk away from him and to choose to rebel. And I look at Satan, he was in a heaven, he was in a perfect thing, but he still had free will, see? And he chose to, and also I know myself, I have rebelled against him, and I know exactly where I would have been if I had chosen to commit suicide 5 years ago. Like I had thought about practicing, you know, I think I told you that before. One time I was practicing running my arm across the table saw because I wanted my wife to get the insurance money and stuff, you know. But he had to bring me that low to deal with lust. Lust and pornography was an incredible hold on me. But the fear of death, the fear of the Father, the taste of his wrath, we don't realize how freeing that freed me from a lifelong bondage that I was in. Because I was waiting for Jesus to heal me from it and deliver me because of Pauline stuff, where the Father says, no, it's raw choice. I want you to choose to obey me or else. And then the or else is what got me to respond to him. And I've been free from that since. Not that I haven't been tempted.
I think what
but,
I'm saying
you know,
is that he knows those who will choose him by free will. And they will not be lost.
Yeah. And so,
you know. And I pray
but
that
the sobering,
I am
go ahead.
In his hand. I think I even am concerned sometimes because it's like what Aaron said 2 weeks ago, being on to Paul is not enough. I mean, you can see him, but seeing him is not coming out of him. And it's, you know, it's a very, from that point, it's a very, it's like now we realize
it's
we're
a
playing
spiritual
chess
audit
with the devil, you know?
Yeah.
It's an absolute spiritual audit.
Yeah. The freedom that I found coming to Torah and learning more about Torah was salvation to me is not the issue. My issue is I want to follow the Father. I want to live right.
Yeah.
And Matthew 12, I think it was, Jesus
it
says, by your words on that day. Yeah. On that day, you'll be judged or you'll be condemned. It's like, Lord, as I walk with you and obey you and learn, my salvation's in your hands, and I'm going to let – I'm not – where all my friends in our little town, it's all about their salvation. Oh, I'm saved. That's all they talk about.
Yep.
It's like, you know, none of you talk about obeying the Father and loving him.
That's a very selfish viewpoint.
It is.
To focus on salvation, whether or not you're saved. And once saved, always saved. And I was saved on this day, and so forth and so on. You're proclaiming things that he has not proclaimed, you know.
Exactly.
You're taking your place, taking his place.
Yeah.
You're putting yourself in Yah's position.
How do you know that he will not say to you, depart from me, I never knew you? How do you know that he won't say that? You know, you're walking as one. Absolutely. You're walking as one that's following the Pauline doctrine, and that religion is trying to take the kingdom of heaven by force, by having changed it to what they wanted it to be rather than what it was from the beginning. And the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force, and none shall enter but by the narrow gate. You will not go over it. You will not go around it. You will not go under it. You will only go through the narrow gate, and that is only if you are one of his sheep that hears his voice and will not
and
follow
see,
another. And if you followed another and called him by the name of the Father in lieu of the true Father and his ways, he's not going to let you slide in and say, "Ah, I know what you meant. I know what you meant when you kept Christmas, a pagan holiday.
Right.
You know, I know what you meant." And that's what I hear Christians say all the time. Well, he knows what I mean.
No, I know what you're saying.
You know what he
means. The study I recently was doing here, and I think I posted on my Facebook thing, was when Jesus explained the parable of the weed seed. And it said, he said clearly in there that the master's servants were asleep. And then the enemy came in and put the weed seeds in. And this is my own sharing, okay? This is, you know, and so as I'm looking at it, because I'm trying to deal with what Rachel's saying and personally with my friends and stuff around, but all the seeds ended up dying and they all became alive. But which seed followed the weed's direction and which followed the weed direction? See, because I know people that I've seen that have personally experienced a life change because of the Jesus and what the Father's done, but has their direction. And see, if I hadn't got the light, I personally believe I would not have made it at, you know, with Matthew 12 or whatever, what he said. But I've been reading and kind of going over that. Why did Jesus, and if you compare that with the seeds that were sown on good, bad, or whatever, I'm a rock breaker. I'm a person who is in there trying to help dig out the rocks and help the soil become to where it is fertile, to where the people are getting the right information so they can, you know, bring the fruit. I think it's the fruit of righteousness. It's not the fruit of what Paul says. It's the fruit of righteousness.
Not at all what
we're judged by, you know.
Exactly.
You guys keep me on the phone here, and I can't get off of here. Yeah, and stuff.
And
the obedience, too,
is the fruit of righteousness.
Yeah, and they
and you know, I wanted
terrible.
To add, it sounded like, Marty, you had a similar experience. I had a Paul lover tell me, you know, after I had told him about what I found about Paul, and he said, well, you're never going to find a church that doesn't have Paul in it. And, you know, for a split second there, I mean, I felt freedom. I was like, it's okay. It's really
That's
okay.
Right.
And, you know, coming with that, you know, this free grace and the social club you get and all of that, it's just so superficial. It's not the fruit of righteousness. It's not the
That's
selfish.
Right.
I'm saved. You know, we're supposed to be loving the Father and loving others and obeying him. And that's the fruit of righteousness.
Right.
That's the true fruit of his spirit.
And it's hard to come out of the church, especially if you either been asked to or you just leave. But that was my part of my rebellious time, is when I got tired of watching all the people enjoying their little bit of sin and living seemed like perfectly happy lives, and I was discussing with God, why do I know the truth and why am I supposed to live blamelessly or proper with you? And these guys are getting by, and I justified it. That's why you cannot continue to hear false doctrine. You've got to, as he reveals truth to you, you got to keep heading that direction.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's because I miss a lot of people. I miss the fellowship really bad. I miss the really good worship time. But a lot of the worship songs they say, especially the contemporary ones, are so self-centered. What Jesus did for me or what God did, it's all about me. It's not worshiping the Father. You know, I'm listening to Aaron Schutz and Aaron, those messianic guys that are all the Old Testament worship songs that King David did. You know, it's outstanding. I love Israeli music now. And so.
Yeah. Can I add something?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
This is Tommy. Can I add something?
Hi. Yes, I'd love to. Go ahead.
Yeah, so how Rachel was saying before, you know, and she says, you know, he knows what I mean. That's what they say, you know. They say that he knows my heart. But Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things. No one can know it. So how can they be saying that he knows my heart? But then the scriptures tell us that our heart is deceitful and wicked.
Okay, let me say, do me a favor and look that verse up
and look at the context.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that context is talking about a certain group of people. Because it also says in other verses that says that. And same with Psalm 15. If you look at, I think it's Psalm 15, where Paul takes the thing and says, oh, there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, if you look a few verses above it, it says, those who say there is no God, there's none righteous. And then you go on down to the next chapter, and he says, oh, and this is what those who are righteous. And that's why Jesus came not to, he didn't come to save the righteous, those who are already repentant and following the Father's ways. He came to save those who were sinners. And I'm not trying to say, but that verse has been quoted.
Well, those who sin and repent, right?
What's that?
Those who are sinners, but we still need to repent.
Oh, yeah. If you, I don't.
Absolutely.
A sinner is somebody who's practicing sin. And so I consider myself a blameless person because every night I stand before the Father and I ask him if I have sinned against him and if please reveal it to me so I can change. It's like I haven't gone out on my wife ever. And so my wife, I don't have to go and I'm not an adulteress because I don't go out on my wife or I don't use that as an example, I guess. But what's been freeing to me is learning what sin means. If I understand what sin is, breaking God's law, and then that helps me to understand the difference between a mistake. As a carpenter, I make mistakes all the time, but that's not sin. It was not, you know.
Exactly.
And so the freeing part.
And that's one of the things that Paul did was change the definition of sin in Romans 3:7, I think it is, but sin is anything done not in faith. So there are Paulinians actually out there that think that if you aren't keeping the Sabbath day in faith, or if you aren't holding the radio show in faith, or whatever it may be, you're sinning. Mm-hmm. But if you're cheating on your wife and having faith in the Father, you're not in sin. It's
ridiculous.
It's garbled.
Yeah, you brought up Romans.
It means nothing.
Look at Romans. Yeah. Look at Romans 6:14 and look at Romans 7:14. Those two verses are complete. I don't know. I know that. But those are completely contradictory. It's incredible. Those two verses, he's the same letter. He contradicts
Diametrically
himself.
Opposing. Diametrically opposing.
And it's like,
yes.
Yeah. It's just like, but I don't want to knock what she said. I'm just saying every single verse, I don't trust a single verse. I look at the context. I look at the definition. Because as soon as I make a verse comment, and also look at the subject and how it has many times the Messiah says stuff that seems extreme, but when you look at how he uses that in an overall across scripture and how the Father uses all kinds of really creative things. If you look at the Old Testament, he puts really on the wall stuff. You know, he tells people,
I can't hear you right now, Marty.
You're breaking up again, Marty.
Oh, what did I do?
Oh, it's breaking up again.
It just
sounded
like you were underwater for a minute.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Maybe I was underwater. Maybe I'm all washed out.
That's better.
But what gets me is, people look and talk about God being loving, and God told Jeremiah and some of the prophets that he don't even pray for them. Let my vengeance be on them. Let my anger be poured out. And then there's other times he says, hey, I couldn't find anyone to stand in the gap. So I had, if Sodom and Gomorrah, see, this is what gets me. Jesus said, if Sodom and Gomorrah would have had the information that you have, they would have changed. I'm going, okay, God, why didn't they have the information? Well, there's nobody there.
Oh,
And so it's like,
Chorazin.
God, many times, Father has to work with what he's got. You know, people say he never instituted divorce. Well, he had to do what he had to do because the people are all screwed up anyway. You got to work with what you got, you know. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Father is, and when you look at his character, is who he is. I watch him, and as I look at Moses and stuff, you know, he's a friend of God, you know, and it's like, wow, Moses still did some screwed up things, too, and he didn't always respond right, you know?
Yeah.
So absolutely outstanding, and this is where I'm having trouble in the New Testament.
You're underwater again.
Okay. Well, I think I need to let you guys go, because I'm hanging off a charger right now. And stuff. And so we'll have to, I'll try to see if we can do this again next week and stuff. You can go ahead. I'm talking to you.
Absolutely. Please come back.
Yeah, I hope so.
I miss you.
Good to hear from you, Marty.
I miss you, Marty.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right.
Shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Bye-bye.
Oh, that was neat. I'm glad I reached out to him this morning. Said, hey, I don't know who's going to join me today.
Absolutely.
I was like, well, probably Christy, and I looked like Miss, I was like, I looked like Debbie would too. And I'm glad Chelsea could get on here.
Debbie, I think Debbie's
I'm here still.
I'm not sure.
Yay.
Awesome.
Hi.
Chelsea.
I had
Debbie
to find a quiet
place.
Sorry,
I can't hear
invited.
You. I had to find a quiet space because my kids are really loud. So.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, the natives were restless today.
Yeah, they're really busy. So I just went into my son's room, and I'm here hoping that nobody comes in on me.
That's good. Yeah,
anyways, it's good
to
be here.
Us.
Yeah, I'm glad I got to make it through. Yeah.
I don't know anything about you. Are you, like, have you come to the understanding that we have about Paul as well?
I have, yes. And it's actually, I have had, like, the Holy Spirit talk to me, prick me about things, like, in the past and everything. And this is what happened. I stumbled upon somebody's post on Facebook, and it was actually somebody calling out somebody who was anti-Paul. But I read the post, and I was like, maybe there's something to this, you know. I just had a sense that there was something about Paul. And then, so I started, like, researching him more and seeing the contradictions, you know, and, you know, how his story, like, doesn't line up in Acts and everything. And I was like, that's really weird. And so I just kept, like, you know, researching and researching. And then I realized that I knew this as a child, that I had this, like, feeling and this sense about Paul when I was a child. And also, like, how do you explain that away, you know? But, like, somebody tells you that this is an apostle of the Lord, but then you like, have this sense that they're not telling you the truth, you know? Like,
really, or they don't know the truth.
Yeah.
They really,
but, you know, that verse about, like, how, you know, he claims to be from the tribe of Benjamin, but in Matthew 7:15, it says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. And then in the Old Testament, it says that Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. And it's like, you know, I would have never made. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an end time prophecy.
Good job.
Yeah.
Yep, I believe those dots were there for us to connect.
The reference
to the exact same phrases, that was not an accident. That was intentional.
Yeah. Right.
So that his sheep could hear his voice and follow him and be alerted to be on high alert.
Yeah. And I have a hard time when people just write those kinds of things off, because for me, like, my whole life has been, like, nothing has been a coincidence, if you know what I mean. Like, I'm always aware that there's a reason for everything that happens, and I don't think that there can be coincidences like that in the word of Yahuwah, you know? Everything has a purpose to it. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Like Marty was saying, where he was, injured and hurting, where he had to take the time off from work. And he didn't waste his time. And it was such a great opportunity for him to closer to the Father during that time off. And I can relate to that, especially when I was waiting for my spine surgery. That's what I was doing too. That's when a lot of things came to my mind and a recall when I was reading Paul's words. And I'm like, this isn't right.
Yeah.
Not at all.
He comes to us in places of brokenness. Like, I've realized that too, you know, when I've been the most broken, that's when I've been really desperate to the point where I'm willing to lay down my pride, you know, mm-hmm. and accept whatever he's showing me. So, like, that's
so
where he humbles
us. Hey, Chelsea, this is Christy. It's so nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, too.
So nice. No, I agree with what you all are saying. It's when we actually, we have nowhere to look but up and to the Father, and that's, he draws close to the brokenhearted, and he's close to the brokenhearted. So,
yeah,
that's
totally
beautiful.
Yeah, but there are so many, like, places where he directly contradicts, like, what Yehusha and the other apostles say. But then he turns around, and it's like he's almost, he has multiple personalities. That's what
Very
I
much.
Find so strange about Paul. It's like, and it says that we're not, like in the word, that we're not to be double-minded. But he seems very double-minded to me.
Oh,
has
yeah.
anybody else noticed that about him?
Oh, yeah, whatever
yes.
it takes, like he says. He says he's doing whatever it takes to win over,
all
you know,
for
and
all
then uses
people.
That.
Right. And in
right.
one breath, he's against the law. And
not
then
even double-minded.
Breath,
it's like 100,000 different ways minded, whatever way minded.
50,000 denominations.
It's almost like a drug. It's almost like people
yeah.
are induced by a drug that they find their one way that he matches up to their way, and they dismiss everything he said that goes against that one way, which is very peculiar. It's almost
yeah.
like people are spellbound because, like in Galatians,
oh, yeah.
where he says, you know, I would that you would go and completely emasculate yourselves, those of you who follow the law and are of the circumcision. He's basically telling them to go cut their penises off. And I know,
yeah.
you know, some of the people that I know that are really hardcore Christians, I would think that verse right there would wake them up to what kind of a person they're following in Paul.
Right.
That they're
yeah.
just completely lulled to sleep to
yeah.
how absolutely horrific and anti the Father that action would be. Did the Messiah ever come in and try and commit violence against the anatomy of a person, much less their genitalia? I mean, it's just unbelievable how he can be double-minded, triple-minded, quadruple-minded, you know, 100
yeah.
different ways
Never
minded.
Speak plainly.
And yet people accept it. In fact, they
yeah.
will
they don't
fight
that.
For his words over the
they
Messiah's words
one.
To the death. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I had brought that verse up, and I think I told you before, and this another Paul lover said, well, Jesus said to gouge out your eye or cut off your hand if it caused you to sin. I'm like, no, that's different. This is not, so he's not telling you to do a retaliatory move to punish people. He's actually telling us how serious sin is. The Messiah was just
yeah.
trying to protect our souls, not so. I
mm-hmm.
sometimes I do think that when we present these verses, they just, you know, that they're just so spellbound with Paul that they're just gonna
mm-hmm.
reason
mm-hmm.
whatever. And I know I have been. I've been exhausted and just angry, and I just wonder some days, like, what am I up against here? So I just pray. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy how he can write a whole chapter about love, you know, patience, kindness, you know, but then he turns around and he tells these men to castrate themselves. And, like, nothing he says adds up like that. It's just, how can he, like, in one breath be so, like, you have to be gentle, you have to be kind, patient, et cetera, et cetera. But then he talks to people like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's interesting what Aaron said about that love is actually charity in the original, and that charity is actually
yep.
a goddess.
Oh, really?
Yep. Oh,
I
yeah. I'll send you that. I'll
wow.
send you that quote.
Yeah.
It's actually grace.
Yeah.
Charity, hope, and faith, I believe it was. I'll send it to you. And these three.
Yeah.
make up grace, and he says, but the greatest of these is charity.
Right. And Charity is one of the three sisters that make up the goddess of grace for the Greek and the Roman.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gross. Wow. I mean, it's sick when you see that.
Yeah.
No, the fruits of the Spirit is said in Ezekiel, where he says, I will take that stony heart that you have, and I will make it a heart of flesh, and I will write my laws upon your heart, and I will put a right spirit, a right ruach within you, and that spirit will cause you to keep my Torah and do it.
Yeah.
And that's the fruit of the Spirit. You know?
Yeah. And that's one of the things that woke me up about the church, too, is that the church is very, very much founded on Paul's words, you know? Like, they read Paul a 100%. Lot, and they even put to the point where they put what Paul says above what Yahushua says, because, and a lot of times they're opposed, right? But they'll use Paul's words to make it seem like the law has been done away with. And that's not right.
Well, Messiah was speaking through Paul. You know, and that's their assumption.
Yeah.
They assume that Messiah was speaking through Paul. And why did they assume that? Because Paul said so.
Yeah.
Now, Paul said he was an apostle 20 times, wrote that he was an apostle, ordained as an apostle. Well, that's only in his writings that we can find that. And if we actually, you know, go back and see the criteria that was given in order for one to even be considered for an apostleship, or to fill in the place of one of the 12 that was missing, they had to be there from the beginning, from his baptism with John, all the way as witnesses of his ascension, and to him going in and out amongst the brethren, his disciples, during that whole time. If they didn't meet all three of those requirements, they couldn't even be considered, you know, to be with Matthias and Justice, to even have lots prayed over and have lots cast, you know, to see who fills that 12th position.
Right.
Paul,
and there are,
you know,
12 foundations. So how could
only
he be 12. An apostle when there are only 12 foundations in Revelation, you know, and he came along after the 12 that Yahushua appointed, like, and Matthew was chosen for the position. Paul was never chosen. He only claimed that he was chosen, and it was his own witness.
Right, yep. Yeah, and he gives his own criteria, if you see that. I have done the works of an apostle. Haven't I done, signs and wonders that prove that I'm an apostle? Well, that's in direct contrast to what Messiah said. Messiah said that they will do that. They will, don't be fooled by signs and wonders, because that is not proof.
Yeah, that many false prophets will do signs and wonders.
Right. Yeah. And then there's the spirit of Antichrist. It's not a person. It's not necessarily one individual that, you know, Christianity has us looking, you know, into the future now, 2,000 years later. We're waiting for some Antichrist dude to come on the scene. John makes it clear it's a spirit of Antichrist. And those who take on that spirit become antichrists, as they are many. And those are followers of Paul.
Right.
And Paul is the one replacing Messiah, in his own words. He's taken over, you know?
Yeah. I was actually told that I had the antichrist spirit because I was speaking out about Paul. And I'm like, well, that's not what the scriptures say about what the Antichrist spirit is.
Right.
So you just see, like, people are really opposed to anybody who's going to, like, question what they believe to be true, even amongst, like, Hebrew roots people. So these are people who have realized and come to the, you know, the realization and the acceptance that they don't know everything. Then why are they so opposed to people questioning the truth, like what they know to be true?
Yeah. Paul gives a lot of people license to do things that if it was just plain in front of them, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Paul gives a lot of license for a lot of things that have been happening over the last 2,000 years, you know, for people calling themselves pastors all the way up until saying that they filled the office of a prophet. But
right.
we know from Messiah's words, as he said, he says, don't call anybody master or rabbi. You know, that
mm-hmm.
should bother people in the Hebrew Roots movement, especially those sharing, you know, you need to listen to what Rabbi so-and-so here says to me. And I'm like, no, I don't. I don't need to listen to anybody
yeah.
that calls themselves a rabbi. And why are you calling them rabbi? But
right.
we all have
yeah.
one master, and that's Messiah, you know, and
yeah.
we all have one father who is in heaven. And then here comes Paul along here in Corinthians saying, though you have many masters and Messiah, you don't have many fathers. So I became your father when
yeah.
I preached my gospel to you. So follow me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the John 14:26 and John 16:13-14 tell us that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And Yahushua,
yep.
our Messiah, is our example. He's who we're supposed to follow because he learned how to follow Torah perfectly and walk it out. So we're supposed to follow his example, not Paul's.
Right. Yeah, as he says, I do nothing of myself but what my Father showed me. I the words that I speak are not my own words, but the words of the one who sent me. Yeah.
Yeah.
He even says, I don't even do my own will. I do the will of the one who sent me.
Yeah.
But I, Paul, will every man
says,
everywhere
Paul
pray.
Says.
Yeah, it's
Paul
says,
will
it's
say,
Paul
but
says.
I say, the Lord does, this
yeah,
is
who,
not the Lord, but I say,
yeah.
yeah.
What?
And
who are
didn't,
you?
Didn't he also admit to lying for the sake of the gospel? I thought
oh,
he
yeah.
did.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then he had to convince everybody that he wasn't lying because over and over and over in his books, he says, I'm not lying. But then he comes right out and says
mm-hmm.
that he has to lie for the gospel.
Yeah,
right.
The truth of God, as he says, the truth of God has abounded
right.
more through my lie. Why am I yet judged a sinner or condemned as a sinner? Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. It's crazy.
Have you guys noticed that with Christendom looking to the future for the great falling away, that Christendom does not see that the great falling away happened because of Paul? And therefore, when somebody tries to tell a Christian about Paul, they think that you are trying to make them part of the great falling away, and they cling very tightly and block you and never speak mm-hmm. to you again, or your friends, or your friend's friends.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's Paul who talks about the great falling away, and he's talking about those that fall away
oh.
from him. Yep.
Hmm. And he's the cause, maybe.
Yeah. Here's one,
well,
you know, the Yusuf says that we are not to worship. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Rachel.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say here's another weird thing that, you know, there's people that speak in what they believe angelic speak because of Paul's words, and they're doing a repetitive babbling, nonsensical repetitive babbling, and we know from
oh, yeah.
Samuel that's called witchcraft, and from Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
it's in the Septuagint, more specifically than the Masoretic, we see that those that utter sounds from their bellies, ventriloquists, yeah,
mm-hmm.
that we're not even supposed to pay any attention to those people because it says right there, because
yep.
he's given us a Torah that we should not do these things. But we know it. And right after that, it says, and to which there are no gifts to be given. Yet in Paul, he teaches that that's one of the gifts, that it's a
mm-hmm.
gift of the Spirit, is speaking, you know, repetitive nonsense of babbling, that is a gift of the,
yeah.
of the Father, of a Spirit anyway. He's never clear
yeah.
on what Spirit he's talking about, and we should always be
wow.
testing the spirits to see if it's from Yah or not. And that's definitely
yeah.
not from Yah.
Sure.
I mean, Yusha said to Satan when he, in his, the last time, he says, get away from me, Satan. You know, Satan's trying to, he says, everything here that you see, I'll give to you if you just bow down and worship to me. And Yusha says,
wrong. He says, mm-hmm. we are to worship Yahuwah our Elohim only, and him only
right.
do we serve.
Yeah.
You know? And then,
and he took it back to the Torah. He's like, it is written,
exactly.
it is written that. And whereas Paul, you know, he just babbles a lot of nonsense and everything. And like,
you know, that leads to this question I have. You know, Paul had said, well, the weapons are the helmet, the sword of truth. And he said, he never once said it, the truth of Father's word. Isn't that what our weapon is? I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud.
Well, he has the word in there. He has the word in there in that armor. But the his words are considered the word. The breastplate of mm-hmm. righteousness, the sword of truth, which is the word of the Father, according to him. But
okay. So he mentioned
that's
it.
That's his version. Yeah, he did mention
mm-hmm.
it.
Which is the Fahad with the 12
what
stones representing
what
the 12 stones.
What I was going to throw out earlier was to piggyback off of what Marty said on Matthew 13 mm-hmm. and the sowing of the good and the bad seed and mm-hmm. the fact that while the master, I don't know who exactly was sleeping, but while the servants were sleeping, I believe it was, then an enemy came and sowed
mm-hmm.
bad seed.
Tares among
the wheat. Yes, tares among the wheat, let both grow together. Well, that's exactly a picture of what's happened. And if you know anything about the history of Marcion, he like Calvin, who came much later, was a very big proponent of Paul. And everywhere he went, he sowed the Pauline seeds. And he was a ship, I'm not sure if it was a builder or something, but he was in the trade of traveling by way of ship. And everywhere he went, he passed around just kind of like you see today, New Testaments in, in your hotel room and everywhere.
Like Gideon.
You know, you get them handed out. Mm-hmm, like the Gideon's Good News Bible and so forth, he would pass around the Pauline writing. And I see that very clearly
like
as
little tracks.
The evil seed
mm-hmm.
being sown to grow amongst mm-hmm. the wheat.
It is.
To basically choke
and
it
the
out.
True.
And basically
and the true apostles,
mm-hmm, shut up the truth.
And the true apostles were already
mm-hmm.
dead, yeah, asleep.
So when
right,
the Messiah
right.
said, you know, don't pull out the wheat, I mean the tares, because you might pull out the wheat, what did he mean by that then? If that
Yeah, let
seed,
them grow to, let them grow together.
Let them grow together.
Together.
What does that mean then? Because
I think he's saying
I mean,
that he could have
people.
Put a stop to it.
Yeah.
I think he's basically saying he could have stopped it. He could have said, stop right there. This is
mm-hmm.
false. But like Aaron has said, this is a great test of your spiritual acumen.
Yeah.
Do you want to follow the Father truly, or do you want the free,
I'm just going to do like everybody else does around you.
You know, the free deception, you know, the wide gate. It's, you know, let both grow together. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what it means.
I mean,
to me,
makes sense.
You know.
The
wheat, please, Chelsea.
If I may, this is Debbie. The wheat and the tares. If they were going to tear out the weeds, if you would, they would have ended up tearing the good wheat out too. That's why the master said,
right.
"Let them grow together."
Damaging the roots.
Not only that, but but at the end, you can tell who is wheat and who is tare, because at the end, the wheat bows down, and that's how you know that it's ready for harvest, where the tares remain standing up, and it's easy to pluck those first because they're standing up. You just grab them by the head, and you just
pluck them. That's so brilliant.
Yeah. Right.
So
sounds like pride,
is,
too, doesn't it?
Yes, pride, most definitely.
Absolutely.
Not bowing.
And
exactly.
Not humbled. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. That's a beautiful
and just so
image,
you know,
actually.
The episode is about to end because of the way I set it up correctly this morning or last night. And for some reason, it was telling us 23 hours before your next show, even though everything was correct. So I had to reset up the show. And in doing so, I lost about 8 minutes or so. So I can't see exactly how many minutes we have right now, but it could be ending at any time. So just wanted to tell you if that's the case. We look forward to having everybody back next week. And Shabbat Shalom on an episode we were not sure we were going to have or have enough to talk about. We've been struggling to get everybody's thoughts in, but everybody's had great contributions and much appreciated. Thank you, Aaron, for helping out.
Thank
and
you, Rachel.
Having my
I'm glad
today.
You were able to figure it out. I need to learn more about that program that he uses there. I wasn't too impressed with it, with the format there. I couldn't do anything on my phone. Mm-hmm. My computer isn't, it's a nice computer, but I don't have it hooked to the internet yet. So I'm just kind of in a tough spot, and I'll be moving to even a further rough spot. So I'll probably have to drive out of the woods to keep Shabbat fellowship with you on the radio here in the next Sabbath or so. I'm hoping next Sabbath I'll be able to do that. And I hope everybody else will continue to join us. It's like Christy was saying, or that pastor said to him, good luck finding a church without Paul. It's like, yeah, well, I wouldn't say that we're a church, but we're definitely a fellowship. And we're not just exploiting Paul for what he was, but we're also lifting up the Messiah at the same time. Yeah. We're telling that we're not just exposing error. We're telling the truth in light of the, you know, in light of the, exposing error in light of the truth. Yeah. And I sure appreciate everybody joining me here today.
Yeah, shalom, y'all. Thank you, Rachel, for doing this, for starting this. I'm just so grateful.
Absolutely. Awesome. It's just something that led to something else that's been a blessing to me as much as I'm glad it is blessing other people. But I go back and listen to the shows myself because so much is said by other people that when I hear it a second time, that it's really ministers to me. But, so it's saying we have 90 seconds, guys. Believe it or not, we are there. So I hope everybody enjoys the rest of their day and weekend, and we will see you next week.
Mm-hmm. Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Shabbat shalom.
Absolutely.
Shabbat shalom.
And next up, if you want to, Pauline, ironically, the next Freedomizer show that is on Freedomizer is Bible Study with Carl tomorrow at 2 Central. So that's the other side of the story.
Bible Study with Paul. That ought to be a fun one.
With Carl, but it may as well be.
Oh, Carl. Okay. Very, I thought you said with Paul.
Yeah, very Pauline. Yeah, basically, yes.
Shabbat shalom. Yeah. Love you all. Have a good week.
Yeah, love you all. You too.
Bye-bye.
I couldn't get the music. I couldn't get the music to go. I don't know if it's going to play or not.